Awesome. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. Right now, we're in the middle of this conversation called paths. If you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, right now, we're looking at this path of grace. And so we started off on Easter, and we looked at how when Jesus Christ walks out of that grave, he's literally opening up a new way for us to be able to find peace with God, for us to be reconciled to our Creator, for us to be brought back into that relationship. And so we've been looking at that path and how that happens and what that looks like. And we saw how it begins with experience and how we experience his grace. It moves from secondhand experience to personal experience. And then it continues as we're growing in grace. And he's speaking that into our life over and over and over again. And then last week we looked at this passage in 1 John and how that love in our life is completed or fulfilled or brought to its fullness as we take what we've received and we begin to give that away. And I want to take just one second and I want to touch on something really quick coming out of last week, and then we're going to look at what we're moving forward with today. But I want to take a moment because as I watched the conversations coming out of the dinner groups this past week, I realized that there's something that we could fall into. There's a mistake that we can make coming out of last week that I want to make sure we don't make. And I understood why it was happening because of the picture that we used last week and the story that we used in Hosea to be able to illustrate what we were talking about. And as I watched these conversations, I began to hear people talk about loving people who are in the most difficult of situations. And we were talking about demonstrating grace to the people around us. And in the conversation in the dinner groups over and over again, I kept hearing this idea of finding people, going to people who are in the most difficult of situations. And while that is true, I want to call us back from that to understand that loving people in difficult situations is part of that. And I understood why it was happening because we talked about Hosea and how God calls him to go marry this prostitute, right? This person who's in a very, very difficult situation. But I want to call you back to that conversation because in the conversation, demonstrating grace does not begin with loving people who are in the most difficult situations. It begins with loving the unlovable. And that's a little bit different. And it may be that those people in those difficult situations are unlovable, but oftentimes, the people who are unlovable are not necessarily in the difficult situation. Sometimes they can be right next to us. And what I don't want coming out of this conversation is that we look at demonstrate grace as, okay, I need to go somewhere. You probably don't have to go somewhere. They're probably around you. You need to go to them, engage them. But oftentimes, it's your boss at work. Right? Sometimes in our life, it's our spouse, and man, I'm going to love in this situation. And I want to kind of correct that a little bit because I want to make sure that we understand that it's not necessarily about out there. Sometimes loving people who are in difficult situations can actually be really easy, and it's not about grace. It's just, it's very controlled and it's very systematic. Whereas loving those people who are right next to us but said something to offend us or said something that pushed us in the wrong direction, that's that difficult, unlovable person. And grace is when you step into their lives. And I want to call us back again because, again, I don't want us to get too far out because I want you to understand that this isn't something that starts out there and works its way in. It's something that starts here and works its way out. And so I want to call you back to the passage. It's one of the last verses that we read last week, 1 John 4:21. He says, "And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters." In this passage, he's being very clear that, listen, it starts here and finding those lovable people who are in your family, inside your dinner group, right, who are part of this, loving them, and then it continues extending out, right? And so I want us to call us back to that. And just reinforce again that this begins with loving the people who are around you and especially those immediately around you who are really, really unlovable and stepping into their lives in those situations and displaying grace. And every week as you guys come in here, you're being loved more than you could possibly imagine. And one of the things that I've done in each of these services is that I want to be able to recognize some of those people who are loving you. And really, in many ways, displaying grace because they do it without any recognition or even the recognition that they deserve. People walk in here every week, and some of you walk in and you think that this room looks like this all week long. And I'm really excited because our video team is working on right now how to be able to do a time lapse of this space on every Sunday so that you can see that when we get here in the mornings, this place is completely empty. And all the way down to the carpet, none of it is here. And there are a group of people who come in here and work very, very hard so that you can come in and be part of this conversation every week and display that love to you over and over and over and over again. And so if you're part of the setup team and you're inside this service, will you guys stand up? No one's here? Come on. All right. I know this is the problem with the setup team. They like to hide, right? In the first service, it took me like a minute, but I knew them by their faces, and so I could call them out. But I don't see you. So maybe they're just in the first and second service. They're usually in the first and the third because they tear down as well. If you come up, if I find out you're at this service and afterwards you say, I'm just on the tear down team and you didn't stand up, we're going to have a conversation. All right? I'm just going to let you know that. But these guys, I mean, they just love and love and love and love. And so I want to make sure to challenge you with that. Of it's not just out there. It's also, okay, what are you doing? How are you using your gifts and skills and talents to be able to love the people who are right next to you? And what are you doing to be able to love them and demonstrate grace into the lives of the people who are part of this family with you as well, right? And so it begins with experience. We grow in grace, and then we begin to demonstrate that grace to the world around us. But if you've ever been part of trying to help someone find their way back to God, you know that's incomplete. While it may be the completion of God's love in your life, as it says in 1 John 4, the process is incomplete. And as we've walked through this over and over and over again, I've told you, this isn't just about you. This isn't about how you can take these steps. That's part of it. But beyond that, it's also about how you can begin to help other people take these steps. You see, when we talk about Hoboken Grace being focused on helping people find their way back to God, we're not talking about an organization that has a mission of helping people find their way back to God. We're talking about a family, a group of people, an army of people who go into their lives with the goal of helping people find their way back to God. And my greatest fear is that you'll walk out of here on Sundays and say, Hoboken Grace is focused on, their mission is to help people find their way back to God, as opposed to walking out of here saying, my mission is to help people find their way back to God. And so this conversation, all of it, is not just about your journey, but it's also about how you can begin to look at the people around you and say, okay, how can I help them find their way back to God? How can I help them walk down this path of grace? And if you've ever tried to do that and you look at the path that we've walked down so far, you realize that it's insufficient. Because here's the problem with where we are right now. Demonstration in and of itself is not enough. As a matter of fact, the greatest demonstration of love for all of time demanded explanation. So you look at what Jesus Christ did on the cross, you look at how he gave his life for us, how he gave his life for you, how he took on all of the wrath of God on that cross. The greatest demonstration of grace and love for all of time that has ever been or ever will be, it still needed to be explained. The demonstration in and of itself was not enough. There needed to be someone who came along behind it and explained it. Demonstration is not sufficient. You need to share. And so as we look at the step and the next step along this path, it's not just that I experience grace, grow in grace, demonstrate grace, but then I learn how to share grace. And I'll have conversations with people and they'll say, listen, you know, I want to impact the lives of the people around me, and I'm just going to let my actions speak for themselves. They can't. If Jesus Christ and what he did needed to be explained, then in your life, you're going to need to explain as well. I mean, Jesus Christ gives his life and God gives us the entire New Testament to be able to explain what happened. It's not just enough to demonstrate grace. You have to begin to share grace. And what I want to do today is I want to be able to look at this idea of sharing grace, and I want to talk through what it means to share grace and what it means to share religion. Because as we've walked through this path, we've been looking at the detours that we can get off on, and we've been looking at how other paths can begin to fall into play. And so what I want to do today is I want to take you through a place where Paul shares his story in order to be able to help us in how we can begin to share grace with those around us in a way that it reflects grace and not religion. And the more you're part of Hoboken Grace, the more you're going to hear us talk about being a witness. And that is that in your life, God does not expect you to be a theologian. He doesn't expect you to have, you know, verse and verse and verse and verse and verse and verse and verse memorized that you're going to be able to share with someone anytime you share Christ. That's not what he calls you to do. He calls you to be a witness. In other words, you are to speak to what you've seen and what you've heard. You are to share your story. And sharing grace begins with sharing your story. But I want to look at some of the pitfalls that we can fall into in sharing our story and compare them to how Paul shares his story in order to help us understand how to best share grace with the people around us so that more people can find their way back to God. Let me take you to this passage. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is going to be our focus passage for today. And it's at the very beginning of Paul writing to Timothy. And if you don't know the relationship between Paul and Timothy, Paul is Timothy's mentor. Timothy is Paul's apprentice. And Paul is raising him up to be a pastor of this church. And so he writes to him in order to build into him. And as part of that conversation and part of that letter, he shares with him his story. And I want to read to you that story as Paul shares it with him. He says, "I thank Christ Jesus for our Lord who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. How generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of these. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners." And I want to stop here for just a second, because for some of you, you walked in here today and earlier you heard me say, listen, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. And you heard me say that, and maybe someone invited you today, or maybe you're just going through something really, really difficult, and so you decided, well, I don't know what else to do. I'll go visit this church. And so you walked in here today and you heard me say that, and you thought to yourself, he doesn't know me. If he knew where I've been, if he knew what I've done, he wouldn't say that. Just as an aside, really quickly, I want you to understand what Paul's saying here. You see, Paul literally, for his job, killed Christians. He traveled and went to city after city after city after city to find Christians and kill them. Okay? Now I don't know your story, but I don't think you've got him beat. If you do, I'm a little nervous. Okay? I mean, this guy is slaughtering people. And Paul says, listen, you need to understand how screwed up I was, how messed up I was, and yet God still pursued me. God still came for me, really as an example to all of us that it really doesn't matter where you are or what you've done, that he cares about you. See, this journey is for you. I don't care where you've been. And Paul is very, very clear about that. This is for you. This path is for you. And so he's sharing his story and how God's changed his life. He says, "Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God." Amen. And so he lays out this story, his story. And what I want to do today is I want to look at that story, and I want to look at the way that in which sometimes we tell our story and see how sometimes what we share is anything but grace, and how what Paul shares is literally soaked in grace. The way that I'm going to do it is I'm going to literally do two columns, and so we're going to go through not grace, and then we're going to go through grace. And as you look at the beginning of the not grace and the beginning of the story, not grace is when you begin the story with, you know, I've always been a Christian. And there's a lot of different ways you can begin it where it's not grace, but one of the most common is, you know, I've always been a Christian. And we, when someone takes the step of baptism, we invite them in to come and to share their story, and they'll either share it with me or sometimes they'll share it on video so that we can show it to everyone. And one of the things that happens quite frequently is that they'll begin their story and say, you know, I've always been a Christian. And I have to hit stop on the video camera and say, let's talk for a second. You haven't always been a Christian. And again, this actually applies no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. You have not always been a Christian. Now, it's interesting because if anybody could say that they've always been religious, that they've always, it would have been Paul. I mean, Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, the reason that he's persecuting Christ is because he's so deep in the leadership of Judaism at that time that they're trying to eliminate Christianity. I mean, this guy, when it came to following the rules, this guy got it right, but he doesn't begin that way. And the truth is, it doesn't matter who you are, you haven't been a Christian your whole life. That's not the story of grace. The story of grace is that there was a moment at which you became new. There's a moment at which he healed you. That's the path of grace. And you may not know exactly when that was. As I look back on my life, the truth is I don't know exactly when that happened. I know when I began that conversation with God. I know when I began that conversation with him and the first time that I asked him to forgive me. I don't know that I understood it fully. I don't know that I fully trusted him at that point and that I was reborn at that point. But I know that along my journey that that's happened. But unfortunately, because of what we've been taught in certain situations, in certain settings, there's this idea that's come in that because I'm associated with this church, or I'm baptized into this church, or I've been confirmed in this church, that I'm a Christian. But your relationship with Jesus Christ does not have to do with your relationship to a church. It doesn't. It has to do with you putting your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. And so it doesn't matter what happened in that church, that is not your way back to God. That is not the path of peace. That's a different path. That is not the path of Jesus Christ. The path of Jesus Christ says, no. You were, and this is grace, right? This is the opposite. Not grace, I was always a Christian. The other way, and this is the way our story should start, is I'm a flipping idiot. I put it on the slide to make sure that it really sunk in. Because the path of grace, the story of grace, is not that I've always been, but that there was a time in which, and for most of my life, I was completely screwed up. I was a disaster. I'm evil. So as Paul starts his story, it's, listen, you need to understand how screwed up I was. You need to understand how broken I was. And then it begins to move forward from there. And for some of you, you say that because you've been associated with some church in some way, shape, or form for a very long time. And so you say, well, you know, I've always been a Christian, but in the process, you're not sharing grace. And maybe it's just something that you have a habit of doing, but maybe for you, you really need to go back and look at the story and whether you're trusting the fact that you were a part of a church, whether you're trusting maybe secondhand experience, a decision that your parents made, as opposed to a decision that you made for yourself, where you actually asked him to heal you, to make you new. See, grace begins with, man, I was a disaster. few years ago. We had something phenomenal happen here at Hoboken Grace. You guys see Ryan up here every week leading us in worship. And unfortunately, it's been quite a while since he shared his story, so a lot of you don't know his story. Ryan was a part of Hoboken Grace for actually over a year before he came to know Christ. He was a part of the church plant that I was a part of before this for years before he came to be with us here at Hoboken Grace. And every week he was up here on the stage and he would play, but as part of Hoboken Grace, one of the things that we do is that you don't have to be a follower of Jesus Christ to play in the band. We'd love for people who are still working through that to come and to be part of this journey with us. But if you're going to sing, then you have to believe what you're singing. It's a lack of integrity if you're singing, talking about how great God is, but you don't actually believe in God. And so we don't allow people to sing unless they've made that decision. And so for a long time, Ryan, I mean, incredible talent, incredible singer, but he was just a part of the band. And I remember very clearly the day that he gave his life to Christ. And that next Sunday, for the first Sunday, he got to sing. And for those of you who are here that day, you know it was just unbelievable, beautiful celebration. He actually sang a song that he was writing about coming back to Christ, about knowing God. And as part of that, not only did he sing, but he also shared his story. And in his story, he said something that shocked people. Because he stood up there and he said, you know, I am incredibly evil. And I remember, you know, seeing people's faces because I was on stage as he was sharing it, and they were like shocked that he would say that because they knew Ryan, and Ryan's kind of a nice guy. And so he says, you know, I was incredibly evil. And afterwards, some people were like, man, that's a little harsh. No, it's not. For two reasons. One, it's true. And two, that's what it means to share grace. Grace doesn't dumb down sin in our lives. Grace reveals it for what it is. And if you're going to share grace with the people around you, it doesn't begin with, you know, I've always been. No, no, no. I was evil. That's grace. Second thing, not grace. I found God. You didn't find God. That's not the way it happened. And sometimes I'll hear people tell their story and they'll say, you know, and then I found my way back to God, or I found God. And it's interesting because even at Hoboken Grace, we talk about people helping people find their way back to God, but not because we believe that people can find him, but we believe that he is finding people and they begin to experience that in this journey. But the truth is that before you even walked this planet, before you even existed, Jesus Christ came and gave his life for you. And he has been pursuing you this entire time. You are not the hero of your story. You are not the one who made this happen. He found you. And as we've been looking at this and walking through this, we heard Emily's story a few weeks back of how God found her. And if that's you and you think you found your way back to God, I invite you to go back and to look at your story and to see how God used that, how God used all these different things to be able to bring you to where you could experience his love. You didn't find him, he found you. And sometimes people say, you know, and then I found God. The next thing that people say that isn't grace is, you know, then I found this church. And believe me, I love the fact that Hoboken Grace is a part of so many stories. I love it. I love the fact that God is using us in so many different people's lives. But here's the deal, guys. Hoboken Grace is not the hero of your story either. And Hoboken Grace has no ability to be able to bring people back. Hoboken Grace has no ability to be able to save people. It's not about that. It's about how God found you. And sometimes God finds people and through churches. And so it may be that God found you through Hoboken Grace, but it's not about Hoboken Grace. It's about God. And so in Paul's story, it's not about how he found God, but about how he was in this place and he's just evil and broken and all screwed up, but God found him. And in Paul's life, God uses all these different things. He actually appears to him on the road to Damascus, and then he uses all these people afterwards to explain what just happened to him and to speak into him. But in Paul's story, there's only one hero. But God found me. And if you're going to share grace, it's not going to be I found God or I found this church. It's going to be God found me. And he used all these different things and all these different avenues. And sometimes I didn't think that he was working, but then as I look back now, I see how he directed me in order to bring me to this point. That's grace. The next one is not grace. I turn my life around. And this is one of the ones that really scares me. Or really makes me nervous. And it's actually one of the places where I see God giving us so many different opportunities to share him that we don't take. And so you're having a conversation with your roommate, and your roommate says to you, hey, listen, you know, it seems like something's changing in your life. You used to be a complete jerk, and now you're just like a minor jerk. You have a conversation at work, and people are like, man, this seems like something's different about you. You just seem to treat people a little bit differently. And in those situations, we have kind of an interesting choice to make, because in those moments, we get to decide who gets credit for what's happening in our lives. And so sometimes in those moments, we'll say things like, well, you know, I've just been making some better decisions. That scares me. And I've heard myself say these things before. And the reason that it scares me is that it robs God of the glory that he deserves in my life and in my story. I'm not a different person because I've been making some better decisions. I'm a different person because he's made me someone new. And in those situations, it's I turn my life around, or I've done this, or I've, as opposed to, no. The path of grace, communicating grace, sharing grace is God's changed me. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we have the opportunity to have this conversation all the time. But rather than embracing it, rather than stepping into it, what we'll do is we'll just kind of sidestep it. Or we'll give the credit to something else or someone else that doesn't deserve it. And we'll miss out on sharing grace. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to go to a barbecue, and it was a barbecue where we knew the family, and so we were going to go. It was a little girl's birthday party. We were super excited to be able to be part of it, but at the same time, I didn't know anyone else who was going to be there. So that meant that I had to kind of get myself psyched up before I got there, because I'm an introvert. I don't like to be in large groups of people where I don't know everyone. And so I'm getting myself psyched up to be there and to be part of this. But what I've learned is that not only do I have to get myself psyched up to be able to be part of the party, but I also have to get myself psyched up spiritually for the conversations that are going to be had and what I'm going to do inside those conversations. Because every single party that you're part of, you go to a barbecue, right? You don't know people and you're meeting new people. What's one of the first questions they ask you? What do you do? And I can be in a group of like four or five guys. And you're sitting there, you know, hanging out, enjoying the conversation, enjoying the time together, and they're asking each other what they do, you know, what do you do, and I'm just kind of sitting there in the circle, just waiting for it, and they turn to me, what do you do? I'm a pastor. You say that in a group of like four or five guys standing around having a cool conversation, and all of a sudden, like three or four of them begin to mingle away. Like they're just being to slowly meander off. It's like taking a grenade and just launching that thing into the middle of the conversation. It's like, boom! What do you do? I'm a pastor. And then for the rest of the time, like, someone curses, everybody like looks at you like, oh my goodness, what? I thought about before, just to kind of eliminate that whole like cursing thing, just to be like, people ask you, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Just get it out of the way from the very beginning. And I'm in this conversation, I have to get myself psyched up because I found myself in those situations and people will say things like that and you just kind of want to kind of sidestep it. And then at this party in particular, it got even worse because I'm having a conversation with this guy and literally, you think I'm joking about these things, but I'm not actually joking. There was like four of us around this circle talking and they asked me, what do you do? I'm a pastor. And two of them left. I'm not kidding about this. They just feel really awkward around me. And so two of them kind of walk away. But one, there's another guy kind of over here listening. And the guy says to me, he says, well, what brought you to do that? And I thought, oh, man. God, what... You don't want to hear this, man. Like you don't want to go there, do you? And in the situation, I had a decision to make. I could simply look at him and say, "Hey, you know, it's just kind of how things worked out in my life, and I really love people and like taking care of people. I've done it before." Or I could actually tell him what brought me to that point. I could give credit to me and my love for people, and it just kind of brought me to do this. Or I could say, well, you know, I started school for this, and then God just started doing these crazy things in my life. And I watch their faces when I tell them that, you know, I really felt like God told me that he wanted me to do this, and they're looking at me like, dude, you are insane. Going back to the other groups of guys around, you want to hear a funny story, go ask that dude. He thinks he hears things. You get the decision. You have a choice. You can share grace or you can sidestep it. Give credit to something or someone else that doesn't deserve it. And in Paul's life and in Paul's story, only one person gets credit. Only one. Listen to how he ends this. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. And the amazing thing as you read through Paul's letters is that he actually does this a couple times where he kind of, all of a sudden, just in the middle of writing about something else, he'll just break out in talking about what God's done for him and how amazing it is, how beautiful it is, and how much honor and glory God should get for it. You see him do it so many times, I can't imagine. I have to believe, and I believe Paul was very culturally, I mean, he was tied in how to be able to present Christ to the people around him and very culturally aware, but I have to believe in those conversations at those barbecues, Paul was like, dude, I cannot believe what God's done for me. And I think these opportunities show up in our lives all the time. One of the reasons why I tell you over and over again that I want you at more parties, go to more parties, is because these opportunities show up over and over and over again as you find yourselves in those conversations. And sharing grace isn't about how you made some new decisions. Sharing grace isn't, hey, listen, I found this church and I'm starting to do better. Sharing grace isn't that I got in this dinner group and I just... Sharing grace is God's made me someone new. You know why I seem different? God made me someone new. And I will not rob him of that story. The last one, not grace. I'm killing it. And sometimes, I don't know if this is our story so much as we think it needs to be our story in order to be able to share. But for some of us, it is our story because we think that's what the people around us need to hear. And so rather than being honest about where we are and rather than being honest about what's going on in our lives, we only want to share the good. We want to be able to share our story in such a way that, hey, listen, now everything's great. Everything's put together. I'm not saying you shouldn't share the victories that God gives you. That's absolutely a part of your story. But when you look at Paul's story at the end of it, it's not, man, I'm killing it. Like, I've got it all together now. I've got everything in place. As a matter of fact, when he gets to the end of it, he says, you know, I'm just a prime example of his great patience with me. When he gets to the end of his story, and this is a guy who's literally giving his life for the church. I mean, he's being thrown in prison and beaten for Christ all the time. And the end of his story isn't, look at me. The end of his story is, and God's still being patient with me. And you know what, Timothy? God's still working on me. God's still being patient with me. I don't know I think for most of us, it's not necessarily that we're lying about our story. I think for most of us, it's that we feel like that has to be the end of our story in order for us to share it. We think that in order for us to actually share a story that's going to be meaningful in the lives of the people around us, it has to end with everything's working out great. It's not the way Paul's story ends. And grace isn't, man, now everything's perfect. Everything's exactly where it should be. Grace is, man, I was really, really screwed up. God found me. And God's still being patient with me now. And over and over and over again in our lives, we get the opportunity to share this story. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to have everything figured out. You just step into the lives of the people around you and you share what he's done for you. And here's the thing, guys. God can reach your office through you. God can reach that roommate through you. God can reach that dodgeball team. God can reach that kickball team. God can reach that family member through you. And the only way you're going to find out what he's going to do is if you take the opportunity and you share. You don't share some religious system. You don't share about some other path. You share this path. You share grace. This is where I was. This is how he found me. This is how he's being patient with me now. And then you allow God to do with it what he will and to use it as he will. God changed the world through Paul telling his story over and over and over again. You have no idea if he won't do the same thing through you. And you won't until you start to do exactly the same thing. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for Paul's story. I thank you how it calls us back to sharing grace, just what you've done for us. I thank you for how you've loved us. I pray for those who are here who've fallen into the lie of believing that their story has to end with them figuring everything out before they can share. Father, you know that if they wait to know everything, you know if they wait to have this all together, that they'll never, ever experience leading someone to you. I pray that they would understand, God, that they would grab hold of what Paul realized, that it wasn't Paul's perfection or his strength that you were going to use to change the world, but it was his weakness. It wasn't in his perfection and his strength that you were going to display grace. It was in his brokenness. And may we stop sidestepping the opportunities that you're giving us and share grace. Your grace. In Jesus' name.